Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, having a good time here on the K Show until 7 o'clock.
Sure we are.
Knicks and the Nets last night. The Knicks win, snap a 9-game losing streak to Brooklyn, different Brooklyn team, and they should be beating them. Right now, the Knicks look like they have a better team than the Nets, although the Nets are certainly not lost. They've got a lot of talent there. It's going to take some time for Jock Vaughn and his staff to put it all together. We want to run some of these things by our good friend Tim Legler. We have not spoken to him in a while. Tim, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing today?
Gentlemen, it is my pleasure to be on again. I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right, when you look at the Knicks, I say there's no reason that they should settle for a play-in. They can actually finish fifth, the way I look at it. You know, sixth, you take it, whatever the case may be. How do you look at this Knicks team, and how could they get better than they are right now?
Yeah, look, I agree with you. First of all, I think that, you know, now it's within sight, particularly with what went on in Brooklyn. So, and they didn't, you know, I just heard you mention, they didn't. It's not like they got nothing in return, but you don't have an identifiable star player in this league. It's difficult to know where you're going to generate that kind of offense every night. Everybody needs a focal point offensively. I'm not sure they have a focal point offensively right now. He's not a consistent one. So I think Brooklyn comes back to the pack here a little bit. That's going to open the door for the Knicks to get into that top six and maybe beyond. I mean, they're basically in a dead heat with the Miami Heat right now. Look, I think the Knicks are a pretty good basketball team. I think they play hard. They have, you know, Jalen Brunson's ceiling is significantly higher than I ever thought it was coming out of Villanova, and I'll be the first to admit it. He is a big-time offensive player in this league, and it goes to show you maybe sometimes we don't put enough value on things like footwork and physical strength and brains, because that's really how he gets it done. He's not a flash. He's not going to blow by you. He's not playing vertically. He plays a grounded game, but he goes anywhere he wants to on the court, and you can't knock him off balance off his dribble. And he's a big game player. That's pretty obvious throughout his career. He's been a big game player. So I really like their team, and I think their position now to potentially get into that top five, like you mentioned, which would be incredible, because I didn't see that before the season.
Now, Tim, would you play Josh Hart in the starting lineup and sit down R.J. Barrett?
Oh, man, that's a tough one, because, you know, one of the things you have to consider in doing something like that is, you know, the psyche of the player. And I know that in a perfect world, you don't worry about things like that. You know what? I'm the coach. It's my team. I'm going to do what's best for the team. You're going to have to accept it. But if diminishing returns take place in that player because he's not comfortable in that role, and then you have a guy like Josh Hart, who I think is probably going to be, you know, really locked in mentally no matter what his role is, you have to weigh things like that. I think Josh Hart in some ways could be a better fit in what you need in that starting lineup. But I do think you need to weigh the potential impact on R.J. Barrett. And if you're not getting from him what you need, you know, because psychologically or just from a rhythm standpoint, he's having a hard time making that adjustment. Now, even though it might be in the best interest of the team and the move that you make, you might actually be hurting yourself. So I think those are the kind of things that you're going to be weighing if you're Tom Thibodeau.
Now, they can't make another transaction. The trade deadline has passed. But if Hart plays more and has a connection with Brunson, could he actually be better later on in the season than he is right now for them?
Oh, no question about it. And I think the thing about Josh Hart, I think in some ways he probably feels like a little bit of a new lease on life as well. So I think there was more to him in the places he had been prior to coming to New York. I think there's more to his game offensively. And I think in some ways he was stunted in his last two stops. So he's a guy that I think is going to just get better and better and finish with a flurry here for the Knicks. And he's going to become quickly a crowd favorite. The way that he plays, he's a relentless attacker. He guards, you know, with commitment on every single possession. So he's going to be one of those guys that now New York fans are going to be clamoring to get in the game. You're going to be a smarter, better team because he makes winning plays, and I think he's going to be a huge benefit. It was one of the more understated, you know, player personnel transactions that we saw here at the trading deadline.
Do you have a good feeling on what this NBA playoff picture is going to look like? I mean, obviously we're not looking at an NFL situation where Philly, Kansas City kind of, right, could have kind of been picked, you know, 8 weeks into the season. Certainly in the West. What's your hunch right now coming up to the All-Star break?
We are going to have an unprecedented situation in the Western Conference. And think about, now, a lot of things would have to happen for this scenario to play out. But think about what could happen. And it's not a reach when you start to take a look at where these teams are stacked up. Right now, you've got Denver, Memphis, Sacramento sitting there as the top three seeds. Now, I don't know if Sacramento can hold on to that. Phoenix is about to get Kevin Durant back. They just played a long stretch without Devin Booker. He's back. Dallas just added Kyrie Irving. The Clippers are playing with, you know, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. So maybe Sacramento doesn't end up three, but let's just, for the sake of the argument, let's just say that were to happen. Denver, Memphis, Sacramento. And you end up playing teams like Phoenix, Dallas, the Clippers, potentially the Warriors. You could have a situation where some of those top teams aren't favored to win in the first rounds because of the unique nature of these teams lurking beneath the surface for whatever reason. Underachievement, injuries, making transactions here late in the game at the trading deadline. You have teams that are potentially going to surge here in the Western Conference and be like threats to get to the finals coming out of the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 spot, potentially. It's wild. So it's very difficult to predict how that's all going to play out. And seedings and who you can avoid in the West is going to be huge. Like, take a look, for instance, at a team like, you know, Golden State. I mean, Golden State, if they get Curry back and they finish strong and they're able to, like, avoid the play-in, I mean, you got a potential where you get teams like, you know, Denver or Memphis, or Memphis and Sacramento in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
And you avoid all of those other heavy hitters before you even get to the conference final. So it's going to be very strange. I think the East is fairly predictable. Milwaukee and Boston are on a collision course for the conference finals, and I would be very surprised if anybody upset that apple cart.
You didn't mention the Lakers. With the moves the Lakers made, is there a viable opportunity for them to make a push?
Yeah, I mean, I do like their team better now because they have a better fit. They added two guys in Beasley and D'Angelo Russell that on an average night, the two of them take 16 threes a night, and they shoot close to 40%. That's a desperate need for that team. And Russell Westbrook, I actually think too much blame got laid at his feet for this whole debacle. He played hard this year. Well, he always plays hard, but he played through everything that was thrown his way. All the criticism, all the blame, all he did was show up every night and play hard. And he actually had a very productive year for them. And he has competitive will. Well, they lost that, but they added two pieces that go so much better with LeBron and AD and spacing the floor. Now the question is, when are you going to get LeBron back and AD out there with these new pieces all together? You're running out of time. The Lakers have 26 games left. And I made an analogy this morning. People say, yeah, but it's only four games out of like six or whatever. But yeah, but I made the analogy. It's like being in a buffet line, all you can eat. And you see the crab legs. You're 15 feet from the crab legs, but there's eight people in between you and the crab legs. You're probably not going to get any crab legs. And that's kind of how I feel about the Lakers. Yeah, they're four games out of six, but there's how many teams in between them? There's six teams in between them, and all of those teams are going to continue to win X number of games, and some of those teams just got infinitely better at the trading deadline. So, look, they're at best going to be in a play-in, and you know, they've got enough talent. Maybe you survive the play-in. I don't know that I can pick them to win a best-of-seven series in the first round, and I'm not sure they get out of the play-in, to be honest with you. And how that plays out, because they might be in a situation where the Warriors are in there too. And I think the Warriors' best basketball is still to come.
All right, so two weird questions. Number one, you know, just watching Julius Randle play for the Knicks, Tim, he answers the bell every day. He doesn't miss a game. Why doesn't he need load management and other players do?
Well, I'll take it a step further, Michael, and I know that you know, people don't want to hear it sometimes, the people that are proponents of this methodology that came into existence here over the last decade or the last probably 7 years. I say this, well, if you're telling me and you want me to buy into the argument that load management is going to help you in two areas. Because for me, if you can't tell me it's going to help a player in two areas, then what's the point? And the two areas are, one, you're going to be better in that given year that you get the load management late in the season.
Right.
Because otherwise, what are you doing it for, right? If you're not preserving legs to be better down the stretch and into the playoffs, then what are you doing it for? And two, you can actually play longer and deeper into your career at a high level, because that's great, because that means you make more money, and I'm all about players making money. Here's the problem. If that's the case for the star players, why isn't that also the case for the guys that are rotational players that play 25 minutes a night? Don't you want them to be at their best too? So that's been my argument about the thing the entire time. And you're 100% right. To me, there's not enough data to prove either of the two things I just said, because this ideology is so new, we don't know yet the impact on this generation of players that are getting load management. I just know now that 82 actually means 70.
Right.
That's really what you're signing up for now if you're a star player. You're going to play about 70 games. If you get north of 70, man, you really got something great out of that guy that year. Because the data doesn't back it up yet that it's going to do what I said. And if it doesn't, I don't think it's great for the league. But a guy like Julius Randle, if anybody has a case to make that they should get that, it's him. And look, some guys fight it, and it's really taken out of their hands because the team really mandates it. And some guys fight harder than others. I think some guys enjoy that status, and they enjoy those nights off. I think some guys, it's like the 12-year-old that cries because his Little League game got rained out. You know, you want to play so badly, it's incomprehensible to you. And those guys fight a little bit harder, and maybe they get fewer of those days. But I don't think this mentality is going away anytime soon.
All right, and the other, silly question, I'm watching the Knicks and the Nets all the time, and then I see the way Bridges plays, and I see the way Hart plays, and I see the way Brunson plays. And then I started to think, boy, Jay Wright's a hell of a coach. That is some program. Mm-hmm. And you wonder why other programs don't operate like them, because what they're doing is they're producing full-fledged, fully rounded basketball players. Maybe because they stay longer, they're not all one and dones, but there's something in the water when Jay Wright was there in Villanova. I mean, I don't know if it continues with Kyle Neptune, but those three players are really a testament to what that program's about.
I am so glad you asked me this question, because I've got direct firsthand knowledge of the situation living down in that area, knowing Jay for a long time and going out to their practices. And I remember going out with Jalen Brunson, I think it was his last year at Nova, and I went out there early in the season to see a practice one day. And it's all the most amazing thing. Like, literally for 30 to 40 minutes before any coach is in the gym, Jalen Brunson's out there running the practice before the coaches entered the gym. And it looked like the most well-orchestrated oiled machine in what you were watching, with the drills that they were doing, the pace with which they were doing them, how quickly they transitioned from one thing to the next. And Brunson was clearly the voice and the leadership in the gym, but it wasn't just him. It was everybody that was there was empowered. And it's part of the culture of what they do. They recruit guys that are not necessarily five-star guys. They get, four stars, some three-and-a-half stars. They turn them into a five-star team because they focus so much every day on the details and the fundamentals that will prevent you from beating yourself. And that's really what they're all about. And that's why it's not a coincidence that you have these guys that get to the pros and they end up having much greater NBA careers than some of the more heralded recruits that end up at some of these ACC mm-hmm. schools or end up in Kentucky. These guys, mm-hmm. What they do with them when they get there is transformative in setting them up to have a real chance, because they're winners. And you can plug winners in anywhere. And then they get confident, and now they take off like Jalen Brunson has.
Now, the $64,000 question for me, Tim, is what is the ceiling for the Knicks this year? And can that ceiling be enough to convince other players they're heading in the right direction to make New York a destination?
Yeah, look, I think the key is this. If you want to get out of the first round, I think you need to avoid, those top three teams. And maybe you can give Philly a serious run for their money. And maybe you could have a really hard-fought, tough series against Milwaukee or Boston, but you're going to probably lose that series. And maybe it's a 4-2 and you're done in the first round. Philadelphia, maybe you could go seven games. Maybe you could win that series, potentially. Because James Harden you know, has these moments where he has issues in the postseason. And if he has one of those moments in a series like that, it's tight. You got a chance to beat that team because he's got the ball so much and he plays differently when he's feeling that kind of stress. It's just a pattern with him. So maybe they could be had. I'd probably say they'd be favored. If you can get to the, you know, the five spot and you get a team like Cleveland in the first round, I mean, that's a toss-up series to me. So the ceiling, I would argue, would be the second round and most likely losing to, you know, Boston or Milwaukee in the second round. I think that's probably as far as they could go this year. But I can just tell you right now, the way that people around the league are viewing this team is completely different than it was, you know, over the last couple of years. You got to come to work to beat them. And Brunson's a big part of it because he's a better NBA player than people thought. And what he's doing right now is nothing short of remarkable. And it gives them a chance every night to have leadership like that at that spot. The Knicks have been looking for a point guard to be a leader to run their team for 20 years. I mean, literally, you know, look at the number of guys that have played that spot for the last couple of decades looking for a Jalen Brunson-type player.
Talking with Tim Legler, our NBA analyst here at ESPN, there's so many things that we could talk to you about, and I'm just looking at a player like Kyrie, and we didn't have you on when that all went down. What's your take on what he did in Brooklyn and how he got out of Brooklyn?
I just think ultimately in Brooklyn, he became sort of a microcosm and almost a poster child for the modern player's dissatisfaction and restlessness and how easily that sets in. Right, the windows are so tight, so short. Now, I'm not there every day in the locker room to know all the dynamics between James Harden and Kyrie at first, between Steve Nash and Kyrie, although, I mean, when you come out early on before a guy is coached and say, we don't really have a head coach, any one of us could be the head coach. I mean, you can't really say something to undermine what you're trying to put together more than what he said right in the beginning. So I think that would tell you right off the bat the lack of respect that he had there. That kind of sets the tone for where you're going to go forward with that. But I'm not there every day to see their interactions or KD's and Kyrie's. I just know that Kyrie Irving is a guy, to me, what you have to really question about him. Talent is undeniable, obviously. And he's also a pressure player. When he's out there with the lights are turned on bright and he's healthy, he doesn't run from the light. He's a big-time money player in those moments. And here's the thing, though. What do you say about a guy that walked away, chose to walk away from LeBron James, Jason Tatum, and Kevin Durant? I mean, what are you looking for? You know, and that's what ultimately – I think how Kyrie's going to be kind of looked at is just a guy that's just never completely content and satisfied. And he gets restless and he gets dissatisfied pretty easily. And it's going to be very happy in the beginning. There's going to be rose petals and kumbaya playing in the locker room in Dallas right now because, number one, he's trying to make people forget about his track record here. And, two, he's playing for a contract and money, and he wants to win. He wants to prove some things. So he's going to be great now, but how long – does it last playing alongside Luka? Do you enjoy playing with a guy that dribbles that much, that controls the ball that much? When will it set in? Because I don't think it's a matter of if it sets in. We all know it's a matter of when it sets in. And when your best players become dissatisfied, you cannot win in the NBA. It is an absolute certainty. It is going to crash and burn. If your top guy or one of your top two guys or whatever it may be, get to the point mentally that Kyrie Irving was at in Brooklyn, you just can't win. I don't care who the coach is. I don't care who you bring in. If they get like that, it's impossible to go forward and win because you just can't build what you're trying to build from a team standpoint.
One final thing before I let you go. Go ahead, Don.
I was going to say, could the Nets have handled it any differently?
I don't know that that they could have handled it differently other than possibly the coaching hire was definitely not something I think that any of those guys bought into. And they hired Nash. So maybe that's different because you think the guy's a brilliant basketball mind. There's no question about it. Maybe in different circumstances, Steve Nash could be a very successful head coach. That particular job dealing with those particular personalities and those particular expectations, I don't think was the right hire. So maybe that's something they could have done differently. You know, maybe they could have moved then back in the summer when they both wanted to move. Maybe you could have got more in return at the time than you just got. But I think it's really more about the players than it is about the organization. Look, Sean Marks is ultimately going to have to, you know, he's going to have to deal with this because he tried to put all this together. And it was, I think, the most epic failure probably in the history of the NBA when you look at talent and expectations and what the results ended up being.
Right.
One series win in 3.5 years with the greatest offensive collection, I think, of three players this league has ever seen. I don't think there's ever been three higher-powered offensive players on one roster than this roster has at the top, and they have one playoff series win to show. So he has to own it, but I would put it more on the injuries and the dissatisfaction, starting with Harden and then going on to Kyrie and then eventually KD, more than I would, you know, they didn't handle it right. They rolled the dice and tried to get as much talent to win. That team should have had multiple championships on paper. There's no question. And they didn't have anything close to that to show for it. So I put that more on the players.
All right, we have about 30 seconds. I want to ask you this because we argue with fans about this all the time because it looked like the Knicks had a chance at Donovan Mitchell and they didn't want to give up what the Jazz wanted. And I say Donovan Mitchell is a great player. Do you think he's a great player?
I think this is the best I've seen him play. The one thing he still has to answer the bell on, one thing before I can put him there, Michael, before I label him that, I need to see him answer the bell. And I'm not talking about the bubble. I'm talking about in a normal NBA environment in playoff series, in multiple series. Because the one thing, and it maybe doesn't have to do as much in Cleveland, he's got a lot of help. But in Utah, everything was built around him offensively, so I don't think his decision-making was great in big moments. He settles for bad shots, and he would turn the ball over. And his efficiency wasn't great when they needed him to be to get through games that were important in series. To me, and I'm not saying he can't, I'm a huge Donovan Mitchell fan, he has to answer that bell going forward, and probably this year, because they're going to have a home court series most likely in the first round. He's got to be great, win that series, and then go on and play a team like Boston and Milwaukee in the second round. And you got to go toe-to-toe with guys like Jason Tatum and Giannis. I mean, if you want to be considered a great player and labeled that, that's what it's going to take for him this year in this postseason.
Legs, one-word answer because we got to go to break. Are you comfortable with our Commanders rolling with Sam Howell next year?
Oh my goodness. How can you give me one word to answer that? Are you kidding me? Can you have me back on and just do Commanders?
No, we cannot.
Yes, I will arrange. You know what? Come on my podcast, Sam. Let's do this.
Please.
Right, I'm going to reach out
short
to you.
Short answer is yes. Oh. Short answer, yes. I have no choice.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Sam.
I love Heineke, but Rivera doesn't buy into him. So what can I do? I'm banging my head against the wall. They don't buy into Heineke. I love Heineke. But Howell's the next best answer.
I want to hear this podcast. All right. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Legs.
All right, guys.
That's Tim Legler. Good stuff from him. A little animosity. Did you see what A.J. Brown just said?
No.
Oh, took a shot at Juju Smith-Schuster.
Ooh. Wait. Wide receiver beef?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
WR beef. And I had to pay off a tease that I had in the 3 o'clock hour.
Don did?
About a former Yankee and how he changed the trade paradigm in the NFL.
Ooh.
And the NBA. I'm sorry.
And I also want to hear about the threesome Don's planning for tonight.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Don, the amount of draft capital they gave up for Rudy Gobert. Now, Rudy Gobert is a nice player. He's certainly not an elite player.
Gobert, you're saying?
No, that's Gogurt.
Gogurt, I'm a fan.
I think it changed the way people, the kind of returns. That's why the Nets didn't trade KD during the offseason, because they were looking for a Gobert sort of return. Right. I don't know why the Timberwolves did that. If you look at the Timberwolves now, they're essentially a 500 team, and Gobert has not made them better. But
no.
That really changed. Now everybody wants that sort of package in return, because they go, well, Kevin Durant is 8 times the player as Rudy Gobert. We should get 12 draft picks. So, but that's just not the way it works. That was a desperate team for some reason that did well last year that thought that Gobert was going to put him over the top, and he hasn't been, and it's changed the way people look at trades in the NBA.
But when it doesn't work in Minnesota, ultimately, will it revert back?
Maybe. Like, see, I don't know.
I can't do that. It didn't work for the team that did it.
All right, so here is the wide receiver beef. So Juju Smith-Schuster, who was the guy that got held by James Bradbury that resulted in the penalty, the first down, they were able to run out the clock. He sends out a smiling picture of himself. No, he actually sends out a smiling picture of James Bradbury. And he tweets out, "Happy Valentine's Day, everybody, red heart." And he goes, and the picture over... The line over Bradbury is, "I'll hold you when it matters most."
Oh, no.
So A.J. Brown, 15 minutes ago, tweeted back, "First off, congratulations. You all deserve it. This is lame. You was on the way out of the league before Mahomes resurrected your career on 1-year deal, TikTok boy. He admitted that he grabbed you, but don't act like you're like that or ever was. But congratulations again."
Oh, no. That's just, oh, boy, that one.
Ew.
Why would you do that to Bradbury, though? That's a bad look for Smith-Schuster.
He went after it.
Yeah, A.J. Brown was ticked. I don't blame him.
Wow, 10,000 retweets, 38,000 likes. People like it.
And that was 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's not a good look for Juju. There's no need to do that. And by the way, good job by AJ defending his guy.
Right, who might not be his guy.
Who's only been his guy. Yeah, I mean, he was basically a hired mercenary for the season, but still, good for him. I stand by Bradbury. Don, I feel like with the way that field played and how many problems people had all day, even though he got called for the flag, I think Bradbury doing the minimal amount of contact just to not fall on his you-know-what in the biggest spot of the game. I thought he did the right thing. He just happened to get called for it.
Yeah, he said, I did grab the jersey, and I was hoping they wouldn't call it.
Yeah, like, you're living in, and this is why I don't agree with, Danny from Long Island and all the different people who called and said, you got to call it all the same, all the time, blah, blah, blah. If you can do that good a job where the contact's that minimal, I understand if you slow it down and you freeze it, you can see the jersey moving. All of us watch football constantly. That did not get that was not egregious. If they don't call that, no one's complaining.
See, this is what makes football different than hockey and basketball when it comes to calls. I don't think anybody ever says in a basketball game or a hockey game, oh, they could call tripping and holding and slashing every play. No, that's not the case. It still happens very rarely. They don't always catch it, but when they do, it's a penalty, but it's not the majority of the game. What do you hear in football all the time? Oh, there's holding on every play. Oh, they can throw a flag on every play. Well, if you know that as an official, that, hey, at any given moment, I can throw a flag if I really wanted to go by the letter of the law, should you then look at it differently when you know that throwing that flag is going to effectively end the game?
Exactly.
You can't throw a flag every play. So would it have been easier? You brought up a great point. Now, maybe there would have been some controversy, but you made the point yesterday that if they didn't throw the flag, would this be as much a talking point as him throwing the flag?
Absolutely not.
And the answer would have been no. Kansas City would have complained, but quarterbacks and wide receivers, they complain after every incompletion. So does – and I'm asking the question. I'm not even sure myself, but Should an official look at it and say, if it's something I can throw on every play, is this really the play I need to do?
Correct. That's the thing. If you know, because it is. Honestly, when you look close, when they replay a hold, you're looking and you're like, oh, this could be any of these guys. There's always so much contact. It's so difficult. We've said this a million times. There is no position in sports that may be as impossible as a defensive back trying to cover a top receiver in the NFL. It's an impossible job. Mm-hmm. You're starting off backpedaling on a slick field, game on the line. He gave him the lightest touch, and it's just a tough one, man. Listen, I don't think it really mars the game, ultimately. You know, I really do think the Chiefs earned that game, but that's a tough one. It's going to take a while for those refs to live that down.
All right, now I've got something personal to reveal.
Okay.
Nice.
So my family has gone away because it's spring break for the kids. They took the au pair too.
Oh.
And they put the dog in a doggy hotel.
Because you want no part of the dog.
I wouldn't be able to handle it because I'm here for 8 hours and can't leave the dog alone.
8 hours? How long a show are we doing here?
Well, I get here early. Yeah. I get here at like 1:30, 2 o'clock.
1:30. Wow.
So, and then it's an hour to get here and an hour to get back.
Right.
So
where do you live again?
None of your business.
Okay.
So now, when they're all out of the house, they left the house today about 7 a.m. And listen, I'm almost ashamed to admit it.
Insta nude.
I was Tom Cruise in Risky Business. I'm running through the
just
house.
Just get them old records off the shelf.
It wasn't tidy whities, but it was underwear, and I was like sliding around the house like a 12-year-old. I'm 62.
That excited?
I've been at that freedom in a while.
You got porn on every TV, don't
well,
you?
I mean, what do you mean, hot dominoes on my chest? Don, he goes places he shouldn't go.
I think of meatballs.
wait. So tonight, let's get into it.
Air guitar, sliding.
What's for dinner?
Rooms.
What's for dinner?
I've got some stuff to heat up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I went to Rao's last night.
Oh. You brought some leftovers on?
They actually, because they said, what are you guys doing for Valentine's Day? And Jody said, well, I'm actually leaving with the kids. And they said, let us make you something that you can eat tomorrow.
Yeah. They gave you another plate.
Yeah.
God, all because you ramble on about the New York Yankees.
And scream, see ya.
Yeah, he sees a home run and goes, see ya. And now he gets a free meal everywhere he goes.
I didn't say it was a free meal.
No, but they give you free extra meal.
Yeah, it's implied.
No, the whole meal, I'm sure there was a bill for the whole thing.
Yeah.
But they gave you some bonus
there. No, but
not
the extra stuff.
Yeah, they can't offer it and then charge you. Oh, so what are you having tonight, Michael? A little lasagna?
No, a little chicken parm they made me.
A little chicken parm?
Yeah, the food was so good.
What are we watching on the TV?
You know, there's no great sporting event that I'm really locked into. I mean, locally, it's just 2 hockey games, so I'm out.
There's a TNT vehicle on Tuesday.
What
if
do
you're
we have?
Interested. Well, you'll have no good TV, you said.
On TV.
You would have the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks at 7:30.
I'm in.
Nude?
No, boxer briefs.
And then late night, if it interests you, want to maybe stay up late because everyone's gone.
Sure.
This is maybe the nude game. The Warriors and the Clippers. A little late night action.
Well, maybe a half.
Okay, well, the first half.
Yeah, maybe the first half.
And
then I go to bed.
You switch over to something else.
No, I'll go to bed.
All right, I'll play along.
But playing air guitar and sliding on the wooden floors and probably getting splinters too. Because
I just like the fact that Don Michael wanted no part of the dog because he probably could have gotten a dog walker or someone to help them out in the hours when he's gone during the day. But let's be honest, he didn't want to deal with the dog.
I don't live in Manhattan. There are not dog walkers where I live.
There's no one who can come help with the dog.
Michael.
I don't want people. I don't like people around me.
Don, go ahead.
There are dog walkers. There are dog whisperers. I am sure that within walking distance of your house, you probably can get a dog psychiatrist where you live.
I didn't put the dog in a kennel. It's in an expensive dog hotel.
Tell yourself whatever you need to tell yourself. It's not home for the dog. It's still going to be anxiety. You don't care. You don't care.
Yeah, you don't.
I didn't want the dog.
I didn't
right.
want the dog.
There you go.
The dog is for
but
the
But don't
children.
Make it seem like the dog's being pampered.
It is being pampered. You should see.
It's going to cry itself to sleep every night.
We paid an extra $5 a day so the dog had a TV in its room.
Oh, my.
Butter knocked me off the air.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, that's $5 wasted.
Why?
You should have given that to a person.
What?
Dogs don't need to watch TV.
Oh, loves TV. Loves Lassie. Very intimate. Lassie
really?
Reruns.
Big Lassie.
And strangely enough, loves Quincy.
Really?
Yeah.
Lassie and Quincy.
Yeah. Yep.
Interesting.
Butter, no, no. Butter. No, I didn't want the dog, but I do love Butter. But
you
I
love
just,
Butter now?
I do love her.
But let's talk about how bullied you are when it comes to names in your household.
Yeah, every name was not mine.
Every name?
Although Charlie is my dad's name, so I didn't mind that one at all.
But it still wasn't your call.
I made no calls on the names.
And Caledonia, we know you were ardently against.
Ardently against.
And Butter, you wanted to be, what, Mattingly?
Mattingly, yeah.
Which was a great name. Right. For,
great name.
Couldn't even get the dog name.
Nope.
God, you've got no stroke in that house. Unbelievable.
You have no hand.
No hand.
I have no hand.
Zero.
He's got no hand.
But today.
Maybe plenty this week, but
and
not
this week. I am channeling Tom Cruise. So
yeah.
I have a lot of hand this week.
Yeah, sure you do.
Yeah.
If I recall, there was more than hand in that movie.
Interesting. 1-800-919-3776. Hey, bad news, Jet fans. Aaron Rodgers has not gone into darkness yet.
Oh, no.
He actually resurfaced today to talk to Pat McAfee, his authorized biographer. What did he say? Find out.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On this darkness retreat yet. Anybody that's reporting that, it's wrong. I am in the light of day, like Joan Jett used to say. Beautiful reference.
It's a bad movie.
It wasn't awful. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the McAfee show about not yet in darkness.
Listen, I'm not in my darkness retreat yet.
What?
Oh, and yesterday.
What?
Nope. This thing has been planned for about 4 months, and it was always the same dates, always the end of this week.
Oh.
So anybody with knowledge to the opposite of that, it's fake news.
Whoa.
So let me just reiterate one more time. There's an inner circle, right? And in my inner circle, nobody talks to Ian Rappaport. To Adam Schefter, or to any of those people. So if you're one of those people who's talking to those people, it's a great reminder for you, you're not in the inner circle.
Oh!
Damn.
That was a hanging on somebody there.
And if anybody else is out there saying stuff, or if they're just making it up, which is also, those are both likely, just stop with the fake news. I speak for myself. I will continue to do that.
So it takes a shot at Rappaport and Schefter.
I hope he comes here. He's a phenomenal player. I hate him.
Right.
Is that too strong a word? Should I not use the word hate?
Hate is real. It's ugly.
It's an ugly word, yeah, right? It's Valentine's Day, right? But he's done. He's the overuse of fake news is really bothering me.
So you don't think there's the possibility?
I hate you.
The remote possibility that it was just a misunderstanding, like that we thought that it was going to be earlier in the week. Like what is the benefit of somebody giving fake news that he's in the darkness retreat now and not in a few days? Like, does he really think everybody's out to get him to throw misinformation or disinformation? Is it that really the big a deal whether he goes in Tuesday or Thursday or Wednesday or Friday? Does it make a difference? Question is, when's he coming out and when is he making a decision? Wake me when he does that.
Now, he just came right out and followed that up and said, NFL insiders don't know me.
No, I have no problem with Ian Rappaport, Schefter. I think they're really good at their jobs. When it comes to me, they don't know shit. They really don't. They don't have people in my inner circle who are sources. I can promise you that. And anybody who would talk to them is not in my inner circle. It's that simple. I've had this planned on the books for 4 months for the same time. And when someone like that goes on and says something that's not true, it creates a story that's bullshit. And it just keeps on going and going and going. And then it's like I'm trying to insert myself into this conversation.
I'll tell you one thing.
Oh, boy.
He's going to be a joy here.
Oh, it's gold.
And I say that both facetiously and literally. It will be every day because he's the type of guy. He's almost like on the level of Kyrie.
Oh, I said that last week.
And the difference is Kyrie doesn't play all the time. Rodgers answers the bell all the time.
And talks all the time,
and
too.
And talks all the time, but he is just as annoying and just as I'm smarter than you
but he
than
like,
Kyrie has ever been.
They're very similar, but A, you're right, Rodgers does play more, but B, he also likes to talk more. You know, Kyrie doesn't have a weekly spot on a radio show where he just waxes poetic. Aaron really likes to go. I would go as far as saying if he were to come here, Don, I think it'll provide so much content, it might force Michael's hand to have to stay on the show. You couldn't walk away from this, Michael. You can't leave.
It's going
to
be too good.
You can't leave if Aaron Rodgers comes back. I mean, comes to New York. Can I just explain this one more time? Simply, this is a non-political statement. This is just a reality check for Aaron Rodgers, who thinks he's very smart but gets things wrong all the time. Fake news was an actual thing. News being manufactured and created by like bots, where fake stories appeared and people believed it, reposted them on Facebook. It literally shifted people's beliefs. It was an entire thing around the election in 2016. It was a real thing that happened. It's not Ian Rappaport reporting something early that he got from someone. There are times when things are wrong and when someone got information from a source that turned out to be incorrect. It's not fake news, Aaron.
But I don't understand what the motivation is to the fake news, if there indeed was fake news. Oh, let's mess with him and make everybody in the world think he's in the darkness retreat when he's really not going to be in there for another 48, 72 hours. He never said he was going to make his decision immediately after. So isn't it possible they just got the date wrong or they weren't really sure? Like, I don't even know why he believes he's being messed with. Is it that big of a deal?
Now, Rodgers on the McAfee Show was asked about his future.
So are you saying, like, can we count on talking to you next year on Tuesdays on your off day when you're playing for the Packers?
Listen, I would love to continue with it. It's a lot of fun for me. Regardless of what I decide to do, I would love to continue to talk to you guys in some capacity. We'll kind of meet that bridge when we get there.
Green Bay, hey, home sweet home.
18 years, man.
That's a long time.
That's always going to be home.
It's always going to... He does a good job leaving the door open, though. He knows what he's doing.
He certainly makes you think. I mean, he wants us to think it'd be as bright as him, but we're not. But interesting. Interesting.
You can't be as bright as him.
Let's go to John in Phillipsburg. John?
Hey, guys. So I'm calling just to say some stuff about this darkness retreat, but if you just give me a chance just to comment on what you were just playing, I mean... This Aaron Rodgers stuff, I said this a few weeks ago, you know, I agree that he's better than Derek Carr, but come on. I mean, this is crazy. Like, Derek Carr is getting ready to, you know, put his career back together, and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I don't know. But the darkness retreat stuff that I just wanted to add in, so I've been doing some more research on this, and there are bathrooms in the darkness retreat rooms. There's also a shower, so it's not just going to be like he's soiling himself the entire time.
Yeah, but, you know, John, and, I have read, though, that diapers are optional.
Okay.
That doesn't mean, though.
That doesn't mean that there's not a bathroom. But you don't want to, like, move.
If you want to lay in your own filth.
Right, you have that option, John.
That's nice.
Gotcha. And then another thing, so what Don was saying before when we just first brought this information at – you know, he would be kind of interested in something like this.
Right.
And I don't know if people are fully understanding how intense this darkness retreat thing really is. You know, what I'm reading is that most people that go on these darkness retreats end up having very, very intense visual hallucinations. So this is pretty similar to this ayahuasca thing that he was doing last year.
Well, wait, John, you seem to know a little bit about this. You have hallucinations without the benefit of hallucinogenics?
Yeah, so it's one of the most reliable ways to produce hallucinations without drugs. Basically, as the brain is no longer receiving outside stimulation, it just starts to basically produce visual hallucinations. It's a part of a lot of different religious cultures and stuff like that. And
so let me ask you, John, how does this give him the clarity to make a decision then if he's having hallucinations? How does he get the clarity to make a decision whether to go to the Jets or the Raiders or the Packers?
Well, so the thing that I've been reading is that he's the timing of it certainly looks like this is going to be helping him with, you know, whether he's retiring or where he wants to go. But ultimately, this is just another one of his things. You know, the ayahuasca thing was whatever he was trying to do with getting that type of cultural experience. Mm-hmm. And he's talked about how he, He likes to do these like meditative and yoga type experiences. There are silent retreats where you're basically taking a vow of silence for a long period of time. But this whole darkness retreat thing, I mean,
have you done it,
John? Has something to do with his career. No, I have not. Obviously, this has something to do with his career, but I also think that this is, you know, just him being him. People are talking about my career, but it's really about my spirituality. So, I don't know.
Well, good phone call, John. That makes you think. I was talking last night during dinner with Jody, and all kidding aside, I'm not trying to be funny. I couldn't do it. If you put me in a dark room without any outside stimulation, I don't need a cell phone or an iPad. I don't need a TV. All I need is a book, something like that. But if there's no other stimulation and I'm in my head, I would crack.
In 4 days?
I'd crack in an hour. I couldn't do it.
An hour?
In a dark room, alone with my thoughts, where you know where my head's going to go. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Can we do a contest like this on the show sometime? See how long you really can last? Because that would be interesting. And how about tonight? You'll have that option.
But I'm not going to, I don't want to do it. I'm going to have TV and I'm going to be looking at my iPad. I'm going to be, you know, doing, you know, the Tom Cruise dance. But we're not even kidding here for entertainment. You could go in a dark room without any kind of outside stimulation for 4 days.
No, 4 days, I think that would be tough.
Not 4 days. 4 days is too much.
All right. What's your limit, Don?
No, I would do it for a day. I could do anything for a day.
Well, I mean, you're going to sleep 10 hours of it, right?
Well, I guess, or eight or something, but if you told me for a 24-hour period, sit in a dark room, I can do that.
Yeah, I don't know if I could.
Maybe there'd be something to come out of. I don't know why you're so down on like being in your own head.
Because I know what's in my head.
I think it'd be very... But you're a very creative person. No, you're not insane.
Why would I want to go into hallucinations, though, like this guy just said?
Well, I don't think you would for a day. I think 4 days. I think that's
I wonder how fast
you
get there.
Not right.
Yeah. I wonder how quickly you do get to Crazyland, though. That is interesting to think about.
Oh, I'd have the express train to Crazyland.
You want to know something insane? This is kind of serious. I apologize, but it's sort of related. I saw a thing yesterday on the news about a father and daughter trapped in the rubble in Turkey after this awful earthquake that's killed 35,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Father and daughter were trapped together under the rubble for like 6 days.
Survived. Oh, great.
He promised his daughter the day before. He said, give it one more day, we're gonna get out. And they got out and showed them together. Okay.
Wow, that's great.
So like, I mean, my point is, you could pull it to, Michael, I think you could handle a day in a comfortable room in the dark. How dark are you gonna go? Like, why do you think all of a sudden, so obviously what you're saying is that you're gonna think about death.
My worst times are trying to go to bed, go to sleep at night.
You can't turn it off.
I start to think about terrible things. I never think about good things. I think about things that can go wrong. Every night. I mean, my biggest prayer each night is to go to bed right away and not lay there with my thoughts.
And you still don't think therapy is an idea that you should broach?
No.
Don't think they could help?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Maybe talking through some things so you're not thinking about it at night.
You got to do that, man, for yourself. No. You got a family.
I'm good.
Correct this.
No,
he's so stubborn.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.